This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
We join WSMI's Terry Tope. Good morning, sir.
Thank you very much, Tim Mize. Good morning, my friend.
How goes it today?
It goes very cold.
Oh, boy. 8 degrees.
Eight.
I got in my car this morning. It said minus four.
Mine was minus two.
Oh.
You get down below 70, it's way too cold.
Yeah. How many weeks
I'm just telling you right now, it's way too cold.
How many weeks till spring training?
Well, I'll tell you what, it is, one, two, three, four, five, six, 7 weeks away from our first Cardinal spring training broadcast.
That'll warm you up.
Yeah. And, of course, the winter warm-up's on the 16th of January, so it's getting closer.
I think Alex Reyes will be in the caravan that's going to Springfield.
Yes.
I do believe.
Yes, Alex Reyes is going to be there, and he's going to be in the World Baseball Classic along with Carpenter, Matt Carpenter. So
it's Carlos Martinez, too, right?
Carlos Martinez is in it.
Yachty playing?
I don't know. I think so, but I
would think he would. This would be his last realistic chance at it.
Yeah, last shot at it. So
the pitchers in it always make me nervous.
Oh. Sometimes I think, why don't you just use pitching machines or something? These guys are so expensive, you know, and they get hurt so easy, for God's sake. Mm. Oh, yeah. And then it wouldn't really be baseball, would it? So.
That wouldn't work out too good.
Yeah, it wouldn't. It wouldn't. It wouldn't.
Sponsors would not be happy.
No, they wouldn't. No, no, no. Oh, here's the big left-hander. Oh, wait a minute. It's the jugs machine.
But it does throw sliders.
It throws sliders. That's right. Oh, yeah. The cold has frozen my brain.
It happens.
It does.
It happens.
It does. So
it'll be 50 by Tuesday, though.
And that's, you know, just enough time to make all the germs healthy again and for the second go-around.
And normally, you know, we're a week away from the Macoupin County Tournament and the Litchfield Invitational Tournament. Normally, during that week, some sort of major weather event rolls through and just fouls things up.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Or it's the coldest week of the year.
One of the two will happen.
Mm-hmm. So, Carlinville hosting the 99th edition of the Macoupin County Basketball Tournament beginning a week from today. Of course, the Litchfield Invitational Tournament, hitting the half-century mark, begins a week from today. Starting today, the North Green Lady Spartan Classic, where Litchfield will be playing in less than an hour. The girls there, they'll be playing against North Green in the East Gym. Also starting tonight is the Morrisonville Tournament, and they've added some new teams, including Vandalia, Carlinville this year. So it keeps that tournament alive and well. In fact, two games tonight with Carlinville taking on Edinburgh at 6 and Lincolnwood and Mulberry Grove at 7:15. So at Morrisonville. So we do have scores from last night. We had rivalry night last night. The first Friday night of January.
Montgomery County Bragging Rights.
Yes, that's right. Bragging Rights night. And you had the Hillsboro-Litchfield game. And it was Topper scoring early and scoring often.
Never trailed.
Yep.
Got out to, I think, an 8-0 lead and never really looked back. That was their first game since their holiday tournament championship at Carlinville. And they did not take long to knock the rust off.
Yeah, yeah. Nokomis jumped out to an early lead as well and led the entire way. Was Donovan Moore back for the Toppers last night?
He was not.
He was not?
He was not.
Okay.
They say he'll be back Litchfield Invitation, which would be a week from today.
You know, and Toppers are playing pretty good, though. They're playing some pretty good basketball. So,
and if Donovan is able to come back 100% healthy at some point this year, they will be better off as a team for having the Paydens and the Finskys really gain some confidence and development here playing without him.
Drake Payden, one of the best guards around.
Oh, he is.
He's fun to watch. My gosh, is he fun to watch.
Well, with him and Finsky both, they have the ability. They get a rebound, and they just push it. Mm-hmm. Right down the floor. Like, your transition defense better be locked in when you're playing Hills.
You better be paying attention.
Yeah, you're going to have a problem if not.
Yeah. So, the Toppers are fun to watch. Nokomis was typical Nokomis last night, you know, grind it out, jump out, you know, with a lot of pressure early on, jump out to a lead and just kind of never look back from that point. They Hillsboro beat Litchfield last night 75-38. Nokomis beat Lincolnwood 44-24 last night. So,
and I was listening to your game on the way home for my game, and I'm not going to say it's a vintage Nokomis team by any stretch, but just listening to your broadcast, it sounded like a lot of Nokomis games over the years.
Well, and you know, the Ransdell kid is out. He's hurt, and I think Camden might have been their leading scorer. So that certainly has switch things around. But as Tony La Russa used to like to say, it's not about who you don't have, it's who you do have and who steps up. And Nokomis looked a little more, had a little more intensity last night than what I've seen earlier in the year, which is not unusual for this time of year. That kind
of defense was there, which is where their bread is buttered.
Yeah. So no surprises there. No surprises.
No. And what a game it'll be at the Litchfield Invitational, the Tuesday night, the last night of pool play, Hillsborough and Nokomis.
Oh yeah. That'll be a dandy. Man. In fact, when we get to talking about it, it's interesting. The Montgomery County schools are all in the same pool.
Yeah. Worked out good for us.
Which is good for us. Yeah. We like that. That's terrific. But, we're going to be having, coverage, wall to wall coverage, from next Saturday all the way through the following Saturday from the Macoupin County and the Litchfield Invitational Tournament. So.
And outside of postseason time, Terry, I think for both of us, this is probably our favorite week of high school.
Well, I was just thinking, there that old song, Christmas time, the most wonderful time of the year. This is one of those most wonderful times of the year when we have tournament week and it's one of those benchmark weeks. You have Christmas, you have the midseason tournaments, and then postseason's there. And it's interesting to see how teams have progressed or regressed in some cases, moving through the season. And certainly, everybody asks you, well, who's the best team? Who are the teams? I said, well, the teams to kind of watch, I think, obviously are Hillsborough. I think North Mac is a team that you need to keep an eye on, Nokomis, obviously. I think Greenville's a team that, keep an eye on. Southwestern got upended by Bunker Hill last night. Southwestern, though, has a pretty good season going for the boys, but the Minutemen beat them last night. So
the night after, Mount Olive beat Bunker Hill at Lafka Hall.
Yeah. So
go figure.
It's bad. You better play. Get ready to play every night. So some other scores from around the area: Riverton over North Mac, 63-50. Greenville beat Roxana, 52-39. Bunker Hill, 66, Southwestern, 59. Pena beat Staunton, 66-29. Vandalia in overtime over East Dalton Wood River, 52-49. Auburn beat New Berlin. This is interesting. That two good teams there in the Sangamo, 50-34 the final there. Plains over Pawnee, 61-28. And Mulberry Grove beat Ramsey, 53-48. So that's how some of our local teams matched up last night. So.
Of course, in girls basketball the night before, Greenville picked up a great win at Litchfield. The Comets beat Litchfield and Hillsborough in the same year.
So you've got one loss for Litchfield, one loss for Greenville, one loss for Hillsborough, and does Carnival have a loss yet?
I'm not sure what their conference record is, but I think
they have one loss as well.
Payne is right there as well.
So Coop always sends us updates, and I left it on my desk this morning, so it's probably on the email in there, Tim, if you want to pull it up.
Our R&D department's gone today, but I'll see what I can do.
Yeah. Yeah, Dave. Dave, check that out, would you? Dave's not available to us today.
Not today. He's on the DL.
Yeah. By the way, we do have Fighting Illini basketball coming up this afternoon. Illinois at Indiana, 3 o'clock, our coverage begins on WAOX 105.3 The Ox. The good news for the Illini, we've seen some decent play out of the Illini for the most part. The Maryland game was truly a disaster earlier this year. There's a couple of really bad games. The thing about Indiana, I think they've lost two in a row, so it's, they're going to be really, really ticked off. So
that's not good. You never want to play Indiana when they're agitated.
Yeah, that's just... That usually is not a good outcome for you. But we'll have coverage beginning at 3.
They're due to play Indiana well.
They really are. They really are. In the Illini are, they've got a couple of bigs for the first time in a long time and they're making an impression. So.
They look better to me than they had the last few years. Yeah. And the biggest reason, they're healthy.
It makes all the difference.
And they stay healthy. That'll be.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Got the South Central Conference girls standings right here.
Okay.
This was entering yesterday.
Okay.
Carlinville is 5-1, Greenville 4-1, Hillsborough 4-1, Litchfield 4-1, and then Gillespie and Vandalia 2-2.
There you go. So great race on the girls' side. And basically there is, 5 weeks left in the season?
I guess that's about right.
Yeah. then the postseason starts for the girls. So
that's to talk about these midseason tournaments. Obviously, for the girls, once this week is over or next week is over, the regionals are right around the corner.
You're basically seeding for the regionals after that, for 1A and 2A anyway. So, wow. Where did this season go? Holy mackerel.
Hey, we're going to have Carl Ray Fesser coming up about 9:30 this morning.
Our special Fillmore correspondent.
He was supposed to join us last week, but he was, as he put it, putting some quail down.
Well, it's good to know he's got priorities.
Well, hey, don't blame him for that one.
No, not at all.
But Carl and his crew, they had the championship game at the holiday tournament in Carlinville a couple of weeks ago and did a great job.
By the way, last night, Jeremy Smith and Dave Schwartz were two out of the three crew members last night officiating the Nokomis-Lakewood game. Got to see Jeremy's dad, Dan. Dan's doing well, battling back from cancer, and we're hoping for a good report. He says if everything goes well, he might be back wearing the stripes next year.
That would be awesome.
Wouldn't that be awesome? One of the really great guys, you know, really known the Smith family for a long, long time. And so it was good to see Dan. By the way, while we're on the subject of the Big C.
Yes.
Some folks I know, Jeff Smith and his wife, Sarah, from Carlinville. Jeff's a teacher at Auburn. Sarah works in Carlinville. Great people. Sarah is doing battle with a very rare aggressive form of cancer in her leg. And she's undergoing like 18 weeks of chemotherapy, very aggressive chemotherapy. So coming up on Thursday night, January 12th, and my buddy Dave Ferris at Auburn, the Auburn girls coach, is helping set this up. One of the people helping set this up. Thursday, January 12th, the Pawnee at Auburn girls basketball game. They're going to be doing some fundraising, okay? Prior to the game, beginning at 4:30, they're going to be serving a chicken dinner. And you can purchase tickets from any girls basketball player or call the high school office. There's going to be a silent auction. They're also going to be working on other, you know, fundraisers, baskets, and other donated items, that sort of stuff. So if you can help out the cause here, these are great folks, know them, and nice people, really good people. Contact Dave Ferris or Jamie Bowman at the Auburn School. So, okay?
Good deal.
And for people who, a lot of people have been asking me, yes, my cancer has come back, but there's good news. It's slow growing. It's a low-grade cancer. We're keeping an eye on it. And in a couple of 3 years, once it reaches a certain point, we'll go back in, cut it out, and retreat, and move on from there. So it could be a lot worse. We're monitoring the situation very closely, but I appreciate everybody's comments and concerns. And there you have the scoop, direct from the horse's mouth, so to speak.
That's a tall horse.
That's a big horse. Didn't know they could stack it that high.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Oh,
and by the way, last night, Kay Hirsch debuted.
Oh, did Kay Hirsch? Oh, did he get his purple hair?
He did.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
It is purple.
Well, that's good. And congratulations to Litchfield for leading the way as far as the fundraising for the Montgomery County Cancer Society.
I don't know what the dollar total was that they wound up raising, but it was in the thousands.
I think last time I talked to Kyle, it was over 3,000.
That's awesome.
So that's awesome from the high school kids. You know, it's good to get the kids involved. And it's amazing when you think about it, when you think about what is going on with Grace's journey and how the kids have gotten involved. I mean, it's not just Hillsboro, Lincolnwood, Litchfield, Nokomis, it's Vandalia, it's Morrisonville, it's a lot of area schools, and it's just wonderful. And kids are learning to give back.
And that's a good...
That's always good.
We talk about sports being a life lesson. Well, this is a perfect example of that right there.
There's the game, but then there's responsibilities that go along with being a representative of your high school and your community.
Yes.
And they're learning that part of it. Right. So that's really great. So
Grace had an orange pigtail and a purple pigtail last night. She remained neutral. Remained neutral in the Route 16 rivalry.
Gosh. Well, that's what you gotta do.
Absolutely.
So, but Kyle wearing purple.
Look good on him.
Did it?
As good as purple hair can look at a man, I guess, you know.
Was the beard purple too?
It was, I think.
Was it?
Yes.
Okay. I haven't seen Kyle, so, yet.
I don't know if he'll be going out as much now that he has purple hair or not. Maybe he's going to recede for a few weeks. I don't know.
I forgot. Was he doing the Kool-Aid thing, or was he actually getting it dyed?
I think he actually got it dyed.
Got it dyed?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. Could be mistaken about that, but either way, it wound up purple.
Okay.
So.
Hey, that's all that mattered.
Something happened.
That's all that mattered. So, all right, we need to get to a break. When we come back, we will talk a little bit about the upcoming tournaments. Kind of take a look at what's coming up at the Morrisonville tournament and the North Green tournament this week, the Macoupin County and the Litchfield Invitational tournament the week after that. As Sports Saturday rolls on in just a moment.
Fighting Illini basketball today from Indiana at the other Assembly Hall. Live coverage 3 o'clock on 105.3.
Remember, just don't go to the library because it's sinking in Indiana.
That's right. They forgot to calculate the weight of the books in that pesky library.
God, I hate when those things happen.
That's why they call them Hoosiers, Terry. Books, what? Those things got weight to them? No one told me.
I thought it was all digital stuff. Today, the Lady Spartan Classic begins at North Green High School. They're using two gymnasiums, so they get 8 games out of the way on the first day, and they do involve 3 junior varsity teams in there to fill out the brackets. But Litchfield will play this morning against North Green in the East Gym, and other games in the East Gym will have Pittsfield taking on the Carrollton JV, Brussels battling the Waverly South County JV, and then Triopia against Griggsville Perry at about 2:30 this afternoon. Beginning at 10 on the West Gym at North Green, West Central meets Madison, Payson Seymour against Waverly South County, Carrollton plays the North Green JVs, and then Barry Western will take on Greenfield Northwestern. And I believe West Central is the number one seed and Litchfield number 2. I believe that's how that is at the North Green. And it is a bracketed tournament, so.
And just my opinion, but if you have to have 3 JV teams, maybe your field's a little big.
Well, yeah, yeah. But, you know, that's not for me to decide, I guess.
Nor I.
But it does give JV players a chance to play.
It does. You know what else gives JV players a chance to play?
JV games.
JV games. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. That's a valid, valid point, Ken. A very valid point. So, the 39th annual Morrisonville tournament gets underway, and this is being played even in spite of the fact Morrisonville co-ops with Lincolnwood. It's being played at the Morrisonville Gymnasium, which is a great venue. Absolutely. Absolutely. And they've added some teams this year. The teams involved, of course, include Lincolnwood Morrisonville, Nokomis, Carlinville, Vandalia, Edinburgh, and Mulberry Grove. So they've added some teams, and it's a round-robin tournament. 2 games tonight, with Carlinville taking on Edinburgh at 6, Mulberry Grove against Lincolnwood at 7:15. Monday night, there'll be 3 games, with Mulberry Grove taking on Nokomis at 5:30, Carlinville against Vandalia at 6:45, and Edinburgh battling Lincolnwood at 8. Tuesday night, Mulberry Grove takes on Vandalia, Edinburgh against Nokomis, Carlinville against Lincolnwood. A day off on Wednesday. Action will continue Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Saturday wraps up with Edinburgh versus Vandalia at 6, followed by Nokomis taking on Lincolnwood at 7:15. Other games around the area today in girls basketball, along with that North Green tournament. Staunton will be at Carlinville and Southwestern at McGivney. Also in boys basketball today, Pena will host Hillsboro, and a couple of wrestling tournaments going on. Litchfield is in the second day of participation at the Princeton Invitational, and Hillsboro and Carlinville are at the Mount Olive Invitational wrestling tournament. So, did we have a call?
Oh, not pertaining to this.
Oh, okay. Okay, good, good, good. All right. Thought, said something wrong.
Nope, loyal listener.
Loyal listener? Okay, good.
Wanted to send out Valentine's.
A little early.
Well, not if it's Christmas time.
Ah, but the question is, when is the 4th of July? Because everything's based upon that.
That's so true.
We know how that
goes. Well, I guess stores had Valentine's stuff out.
No kidding.
Before Christmas was even over.
Really?
You know, you get the Christmas stuff out before Thanksgiving. Get the Valentine's stuff out before Christmas.
Okay.
So I guess the 4th of July stuff will be up here in a matter of weeks.
Well, I would think.
Get your Independence Day flag.
Well, I remember.
And your American-themed Budweiser.
I tell you what, Earl Sarles the other morning was talking about buying bags of charcoal. There you go. For that cookout.
I like the idea of grilling season.
Yeah. He's got good charcoal. Got the good stuff.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Earl's always got good stuff, though.
Yes, he does.
My dad and grandpa went up and bought, like, they heard him talking about a heavy-duty gate, like, back in the 70s or the 80s or something. So they needed a heavy-duty gate, went up and got that gate. We still have it.
Oh,
still functional.
It's what they use for Bossy Bingo.
Yeah.
It's the official gate of Bossy Bingo. So, Charles Farm Supply, absolutely. So, all right. Well, shall we talk tournaments?
Let's do it.
The annual Macoupin County Basketball Tournament will start on Saturday, January 14th, and run through January 21st. Carlinville High School is the venue, and there will be six games on the opening day. Three girls games to start off, followed by three boys games. We will have coverage of evening games all week long from the Macoupin County Basketball Tournament. The top seed on the girls' side is Mont Olive. The top seed on the boys' side is Southwestern. So,
the boys' tournament's wide open.
Boys' tournament, yeah, it really is wide open, especially after what happened last night with Bunker Hill beating Southwestern. I think you've got to look at, you know, if Bunker Hill can beat Southwestern, that's interesting. You got to look at Gillespie and how explosive the Miners can be. You know, Carlinville, in spite of the fact their record may not be outstanding, just loaded with athletes. And, you know, it's just sometimes it just takes – they made such a deep playoff run in the football tournament. You hate to use that as an excuse, but it just takes a while to get back into the basketball mode.
Well, that's just a fact. Cooper told me at the end of January they'll have the same number of games and practices.
How about that?
But I think North Mac is dangerous in this tournament.
That's the team that you have to watch out. I think North Mac is a team. I saw North Mac the other night, and the Panthers are a team that seemingly have all the elements. They've got senior leadership. They have quickness. They play great defense. If you're gonna play and you're gonna start for T.J. Wilson at North Mac High School, you're gonna have to leave it out on the floor. And he does such a great job with the North Mac Panthers. So coming up a week from today at Carlinville on the girls' side at high noon at CHS, the Lady Cavaliers, the number 2 seed, will take on 7th seeded Staunton. 3rd seeded Gillespie will take on number 6 Bunker Hill. And then at 3, top seeded Mont Olive will get at number 5 Southwestern. And then at 4:30, number 2 seed Bunker Hill on the boys' side will take on 7th seeded Carlinville. 3rd seeded North Mac will take on number 6 Staunton at 6. And at 7:30 on the opening night, top-seeded Southwestern takes on fifth-seeded Mount Olive. So there's the first day of action. And then two games Monday, boys' games, three girls' games Tuesday, two boys' games Wednesday, three girls' games Thursday, boys' games on Friday, two of them, and then six more games on Saturday the 21st.
Beautiful thing.
99th Macoupin County Tournament.
That's a lot.
Only McLean County. As I guess this is the 100th year for McLean County, because I think they were 1 year ahead. As far as I know, McLean County is still having a county tournament. So, wouldn't swear to it. May swear about it, but never swear to it. So, also beginning a week from today will be the Litchfield Invitational Tournament, which will celebrate its 50th anniversary. And in Pool A, you've got Mount Zion, the number 1 seed, along with 8th seeded Metro East Lutheran and number 9 Roxana. Pool B, you've got number 2 Civic Memorial, number 7 Greenville, and number 10 Lebanon. Pool C, you've got 3rd seed Taylorville, number 6 Pena, and number 11 East Altonwood River. And then Pool D, you've got the Montgomery County Pool with Nokomis, the number 4 seed, Hillsborough number 5, and Litchfield number 12.
Good stuff.
Good.
So if you go out to the Litchfield Invitational or the Macoupin County Tournament or the Mohawk Classic, odds are you will see Carl Ray Fesser and his crew at one of those tournaments. They will be spread out throughout the week at all three of those tournaments.
Our special Fillmore correspondent for Sports Saturday, Carl Ray Fesser. Hey, Carl Ray, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine, T. How about yourself?
We're hanging in there, buddy. We're hanging in there. Isn't this a great time of year? Just with all the basketball going on, and you know, it's mid-season for the boys, and kind of getting towards the last third of the season for the girls, and just a fun time of year.
Yes, it is, and busy. So we're running around like chickens with our heads cut off at times. But we do have a lot of fun.
What's a typical week like for your crew this time of year? How many different places do you go? And here in the next week or two, how many different tournaments will you be officiating?
Well, T, I'll run you through this past week. Let me think here. Tuesday night, we were, I can't even remember. This is terrible to say. Hold on, I got my schedule.
You sound like an old band, a rock and roll band guy. Well, I don't know what city we're in, you know?
Yeah, we just roll along.
Your roadie should know where you are.
Exactly. So I know, let's see. Wednesday night, we were at North Green. Tuesday night, it'll come to me. We had North Green and Griggsville. Mm-hmm. If you got time for a little story on Ricky Boy.
Yeah. Okay. We've always got time for a story on Rick.
Yeah. Here we are. We're midway through the second quarter. Call was made. Coach was unhappy. I'm going to put the ball in play, and I'm watching Rick, and I knew what was coming. And I'm sitting here by this kid. I said, hold on. I think we're going to shoot some free throws. And while we had to hold on, Rick, as he's going to stick the coach, blew the whistle out of his mouth. So he had to, 5 seconds later, he got the job done. It's a good story that you can tease Ricky about next time. But, it was classic. And then, let's see, Thursday night, our crew was at Greenfield. I was not with them that night. I took the night off. Junior helped me out since I'm getting to be old man. He said, hey, old man, I'm off. I'll let you take a rest. And I said, you know what? I'll gladly take it for as cold as it's been and everything. It's nice to stay at home and just have a little fun.
Yeah.
And then last night we were down at Trenton Westland. Had a nice ball game down there. Westland was up 11 at half and then could not put the ball in the hole in the second half, and Freeburg beat them by 4. But when you get down that neck of the woods, basketball is just a little different. They're old school basketball, the way I call it. They run an offense and they get a pretty nice shot, and it's just a real joy to go south and work basketball. It's a little different breed of basketball down there.
Carl Ray, when you're officiating ball games, how hard is it or easy is it, maybe as the case would be, to get caught up in the game itself opposed to just officiating?
I tell you what, you can get caught up in the game, but you really, we try and focus at times so we don't do that. And my partners all help with that, and I try and help them. But when you got Rick and last night Steve DeClerc, a.k.a. Sweaty, was with us, and we just went and we really had a nice time. We got talking to some fans, and it was real good discussions amongst the fans. I mean, they wasn't yakking and at us or anything. They were having fun with us, and that's just really, really nice to have. But we just stay focused and just enjoy the game. I mean, we watch it just like everybody else does, but just at times we got to make a decision, and that's when you got to come through and do that, because if you don't, you're just, the kids are not getting right. You know, you're out there to help all the kids and make sure you try and do things right for them. So where all have you guys been, and have you seen any good ball clubs?
Well, we've been all over the place, and, you know, basketball, sometimes the inconsistency is amazing anymore. You know, I think the Hilltoppers of Hillsboro, both boys and girls, a couple of pretty good teams there. You know, Nokomis boys are, I think, typical Nokomis boys for this time of year. After seeing them last night,
Jim got hot in Nokomis tea.
Well, they were at Raymond last night. So, but
right,
you know, they and Nokomis has this great way of, you know, doing kind of a blitzkrieg kind of thing early on in the first quarter, and you know, it's deer in the headlights for the other team, and they'll build that lead and just continue to slowly build on it all night long, and very good ball control and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Southwestern, pretty good team.
Okay.
Tim and I were just talking about North Mac. You know, TJ Wilson always seems to have a team. And even if he doesn't have a great offensive team, man, they're in your face defensively. And this year he's got some people that can stick the ball in the hole. And I think North Mac is by the end of the season is going to be a very, very dangerous team, to be honest with you.
Are they healthy back, Terry?
Well,
them early and they got a couple kids hurt.
I know one of the kids still hurt, but the kids I saw the other night, they look pretty good.
Asa Donaldson's back.
Asa Donaldson is back. Bearden Boy is still not back. But, you know, when you got Graham running the point, he's just such a facilitator. He can, you know, he can score. He can get the ball where it needs to be. And he's got some quickness, so and you could tell he was the quarterback for the football team. He just runs the show. So they're kind of fun to watch. So and that's what makes this time of year an interesting time of year, because things start to shake out. You kind of see the teams that are near the top of the conference standings in the area and how things are going. So what have you got coming up here in the next week or two, Carl Ray?
We'll be at Macoupin County. I know we work there. I think we're there like three nights. And then we're going to be at Litchfield. And I think I got told last night I got to end up at Winchester and work a semifinal up there in that Cracker Jack box. But, and I mean, it is a Cracker Jack box. It's tight, but it's great atmosphere. You walk in there and they don't let you in on the quarter break. So you got to be there on time to get your butt in the locker room and get dressed, but I've heard through the grapevine they put a big screen TV in there, and it's supposedly like $30,000, so it'll be interesting to see, and I'll have to be on top of my game because the fans can take a look at how we screw up afterwards. Well, we will miss some calls here and there.
And all you got to do, Carl, is remind them they can go online and apply to become an official, right? You know?
Well, yeah. That's. I'd love to have a whistle in my pocket at times and throw it to some guys. That might get a little ugly at times.
That might backfire. Carl Ray Fessler joining us here on Sports Saturday. To that point, Carl, when you guys had the championship game at Carlinville, there was a call in that ball game where I think Rick had it initially where he called a double dribble, but the ball had actually gotten knocked out of the young man's hands. And you guys were about to put the ball in play, and then you decided to get together, had a conversation, and got the call right. Could you just talk about, like, as an official, getting the call right, but the ability to be comfortable enough with your own abilities as an official to get together and say, wait a minute, that we might not have got that right, fellas.
Yeah, exactly. That's our main thing, is we try and get it right as best we can. And I do remember the particular play that you're talking about. Rick with C, which is the center official who works basically free throw line extended a lot of the time. I was trail. I had a bad look. I kind of got screened out from the play, but Steve DeClerc was with us that night, and he got a peek at it. And he just went to Rick and said, did you see that play correctly? And Rick said no. And Steve went to him and said that ball got tipped, so it wasn't a double dribble. So we just went to point interruption and give the ball to the correct team. And that's a lot of times on out-of-bounds plays. If I appear in front of somebody or they appear in front of me, most of the time we're going to change because – we know we didn't quite get it right. And that's just part of everybody working together. And that's what's good about the crews or the guys I work with. You know, we're there to get it right as best as we can, because you guys know as well as I do, we're not going to be 100% right. You just got to be very open-minded, in my opinion. And we had a situation last night, late in the ball game. Ball was right in front of me. I come, blew a whistle, had a jump ball. Well, we had supposedly some time run off the clock, and all three of us, none of us seen it, and we wanted to kind of put time back on, but we didn't know, and we don't guess about putting time back on the clock.
Yeah.
And so really us three, or we could go to the official book, and that book can help us if they know for sure. That's, you know, on things like that. You really have to have a lot of trust in the partners that you're working with, and we all do, with Jeremy and Davey Schwartz and DeClerc kind of coming in. They're just a great group of guys to work with, and we have a lot of fun. I mean, we had a post-game little discussion last night at a local establishment. We was watching a guy play a war sport on his chest and a cowbell, and we did talk about a lot of things afterwards. We just had a lot of fun doing it.
Carl Ray, I think the most common mistake that fans will make, or, you know, the cat call from the stand, will be the over and back, where you hear someone say, that's over and back, that's over and back. And a lot of times it is not over and back. So if you could maybe just explain to folks what actually constitutes an over and back court violation.
Okay, the one thing everybody's got to remember, you got 3 points. You got both feet of the kids, and you got the ball. All three of them have to get across that line before they are in what we call the front court. If they're straddling that line, they are still classified in the back court. And there's a lot on team control. I know if they get established in the front court, so this is going to sound weird, but this is the rule the Federation has tells us how to call that. We can be in the front court. The ball will get tipped by the defensive team and then somehow get tipped off the offensive team, go in the back court. That is ruled over and back. That's how they have it.
Don't seem right,
in my opinion, but that gets to that team control.
Yeah,
because if you guys are understanding
the offensive team was the last team to have team control at the time of the tip.
Yep, the last people to touch it.
Yeah.
On inbounds, you know, there's really, you know, they can jump across that line because they've kind of taken that out of play ever since they did the all-named possession. If I remember right, that's about when they changed that rule to make it a little easier on us. If you understand, they can kind of jump across that line. And
the old rule was too confusing for everybody, and it just simplified things when they did away with it.
Yes. Thank goodness they made it a little easier for us. My goodness, that's great. And everything. So it's just things that we all work through and talk about. You know, it's just. That helps us a bunch. When you got old Wiley veterans like the clerk and toll around, it makes it easy.
And Carl, you guys do talk about it. You do talk about it going to the game. You do talk about it after the ball game. This is not something you just show up and 90 minutes later you're done, you go home and forget about the thing. You actually go over, you know, calls and say, okay, did we get this right? Did, you know, what could we have been in a better position? And this is something you guys do every night.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Well, I attempt to do it every night, but Carl's legs are getting a little weak. and everybody, I mean, it's just the way it is. You know, the kids stay the same age, and we just get a year older, you know. So just keep having fun with it and work hard for the kids because they're out there working hard, too. And, you know, the little paycheck ain't nothing because I think I didn't hardly come home with my refereeing check last night.
Carl, couple other things before we let you go. First and foremost, what can be done to try to get interest stirred up in younger people, both men and women, to get into officiating? Do you have any ideas?
I tell you what. One thing, I don't know if they could do something at the college level, like teaching a course. To help kids out and get some exposure. I know when me and Eric started, we started at the sixth grade, went into junior high, don't go try and go too fast, and then we got jumped into a men's league, which really kind of grew us up. We had to have some thick skin because you get working men's, they're going to jaw at you because they think, I mean, and don't take me wrong, people, they think they know a lot of it. And I'm sorry, the normal fan does not quite understand the rules that we go through. And, I mean, that's terrible to say, but we do a lot of digging and do a lot of talking, and that's the key. And younger kids, you got to have some thick skin because, you know, you get in some places that get some games that you just got to focus and you just got to take some heat. Because the fans pay $5 to get in the gym, so they have a right to jaw at you here and there, but not too much because they, you know, it's just one of them things that we do it for the love of the game and for the kids, very much so. But that's my thing, and just kids try and come in and make a few bucks and have some fun with it. Don't think that it's your job. Just have a lot of fun with it. And anybody younger wants to start, my number is 414-7951. I'd gladly go call a game with you. with a young guy to get him started.
There you go. There you go. Carl, another thing, every once in a while when I see you and, you know, you're lining up for a free throw and sometimes you're talking to one of the players and you both kind of chuckle, you know, so things are not, you know, deadly serious to the point where, you know, the safety of the free world is at stake. You both know you have jobs to do out there, but it's kind of fun when you see an official talking with a player and you both have a smile on your face, and that happens a lot, and a lot more than people realize.
Oh yeah. Well, Terry, I'm going to tell you, here's the thing that I feel I've got better at over the past few years. I'm really trying to talk to my kids even while play is going on, because if them kids don't know what I'm thinking, how can they understand it a little bit? So I'm trying to talk to them a little bit more, and it's even during maybe play, you know, I clear the lane, or that's a hook, or get your knee out, or just letting kids know what's on my mind is very important. And times as coaches too, you got to talk to them guys and let them know what we're talking about. I know the big thing, Mr. Gibson up the IHSA, he's really big on the kids. They're rolling their shorts, and that's not they're really after us about making sure the uniforms are right and everything like that. And that's, I mean, is that our job? I don't feel it is. I think that's your administration, the school. Coaches start taking care of that we don't have to. We will if we need to, but I just think that's some things that we could have some help out on that. But, you know, we just got to – we got to do what Mr. Gibson wants us to do.
Well, you know,
you're a company man, Carl.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, and you know, and there's enough, you know, fashion people on cable TV. They could hire them to show up at ball games at night to make sure that everybody's dressed fashionably. So, you know,
right.
And then you guys wouldn't have to worry about it.
You just make sure you keep your shirt tucked in, Carl.
Well, you know, and Carl, to that point, that becomes majoring on the minors. You know, on the minor things, and that really frustrates game officials, because you've got so many other things to worry about. So
right, exactly. But the big thing, we have to do that, because I know Mr. Gibson's running around. Yeah. He was at T-Town sometime this past week, and I talked to Aaron Lane, and he was somewhere last night, and he's seen our crew down at Van Day, and he's seen Aaron Lane's crew down at Van Day. So we got to kind of stay on top of our toes, because I don't want to get an email from that guy saying, you should have done this, you should have done this.
Plus, I'd like to see our local guys go deep into the postseason too.
We got our fingers crossed, and it just, you know, you take what games you get assigned and you go work them games and you enjoy, because I know Dan and Rick and Sweaty, they've all made their runs, and thank goodness they're around to help me try and make my run. And you know, it's really nice when you step on the floor and them guys have worked to, you know, work state finals. It makes it nice. And congratulations to them guys. And hopefully one of these days I'll be in Peoria and they can have fun with me up there. And you guys too.
You will. You will, my friend. You will. Yep. Hey, Carl Ray, thanks for joining us, my friend. And it's always good to talk to you. We'll see you on down the line.
All right. You guys take care. Enjoy listening to you guys.
All right. There we go. Carl Ray Fesser, our special Fillmore correspondent.
As Uncle Ralph would have said, he shimmied up the pole. Make that call.
It's always good to talk to Carl Ray.
Yes.
He's, you know, and I tell you what, he's you know, part of a really good group of officials.
Always a good official.
Here.
Good
really
official.
Good official. Yeah. We are pretty fortunate. We need to get to a break. More Sports Saturday right after this.
Back here on Sports Saturday, the first Saturday of the new year. How about that?
A great time of year for high school basketball, high school wrestling as well. And let's see, even in the junior high, you've got boys basketball and girls volleyball going underway.
So. Didn't mention it last week. I forgot. We were doing our year in review, and we were talking about a lot of different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But congratulations to Nick Price.
Mm-hmm.
Now basically all the major tournament scoring records at the Carlinville Holiday Tournament. Broke Mike Tisdale's tournament scoring record, which is amazingly awesome. But then, a year after his brother almost broke the single game mark in the championship game, he goes out and breaks it in the third place game in overtime. 42 points, breaking a 40-year-old record.
Was it Terry Brucker that had the old record? Right, yeah, yeah.
40 years.
40 years that record stood.
That was...
He had a heck of a tournament.
Yeah. No three-point line back then.
Yeah.
And even if there was, that wasn't his game. It was all inside for him, but
stood
for 40 years.
When you think about the era and 42 points in a ball game,
And there's been some good scorers go through that tournament in those last 40 years, too. So for that to stand that long, very impressive. But hats off to Nick Price for a sensational tournament there.
And Abby Brockmeyer went over the 2,000-point mark this week, so... Her career continues. She continues to add to her career total. So,
sky's the limit there.
Sky's the limit. You know, we were talking with Carl Ray about some rules and officiating. A couple things about high school basketball just to comment on. A couple rules I'd like to see changed. First off, I think when you call timeouts, it should be players only. That's how it used to be years ago. You know, coaches calling timeouts. I always thought it should be the players on the court should have the wherewithal to call timeout. And I'd like to see somehow some sort of a continuation type thing. You know, so many times we see a foul on the floor, but a kid makes a great play, makes the basket, and it gets waved off. And I'm not saying it has to be like the NBA. And obviously there would be probably so much wide open, very, you know, interpretation that you probably couldn't put such a rule in. But sometimes a kid makes just a great play and, you know, doesn't get credit to getting the ball to the hole and getting the basket down because of a foul, you know, two steps back. So
hey, you're already asking officials to make a bunch of judgment calls in the game anyway. What's one more?
Well, you know, and that's probably asking too much. And there would be probably too much variation in interpretation of it. So
yeah, because there's no variation or interpretation of the current rules. That never happens.
So. But anyway, there's just a couple things that I
would like to see them get rid of the alternate possession. And
go back to
straight jump balls. I really would.
Ooh.
I don't even remember basketball when that was the case. But to me, I like the idea of it. Because so many times, the alternate possession does not benefit the team that made the play.
Right.
You know, you get late in the ball game as a defender, you make a great play to get a tie up, and then the arrow's going not with you guys.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and it's between two players that tied up the ball.
Exactly.
So, you know, if you've got the big guy that holds the ball down low and the little guy gets his hands on it, well, the big guy obviously has the advantage at the jump ball. And, you know, maybe even though he got tied up, he's got the advantage.
And I guess a lot of that has to do with length of game and timing because,
well,
you know, it would add length to games if you did that.
Well, you know, and they talk about speed up rules for a lot of things. And, you know, basketball goes quick.
It does.
Really, it does. And, you know, I think there are other games that have more problems with speed-up rules in basketball. So, I think, remember when they did the running clock, you know, during regular season games and stuff. And, you know, they still use it for in-season tournament games. You're allowed to do that. But for regular season games, non-tournament games, and for the postseason, they don't allow it anymore. And I don't think it's necessary. There's no need for it.
No. It's not football in that regard.
No, it's not. It's not. So, you know, football's different. And I don't even understand why they stop the clock so much in football. I just think that the rules there are just kind of dumb.
Well, you want the clock running on an incomplete pass?
Yes.
Yeah. There'd be a lot of waste of time if that was the case, though. With passes downfield, you don't care. You're a soccer guy.
I'm a soccer guy.
Yeah.
Let's clock run. Let's go.
Yeah, I can't. You want
to pick up the pace of the game? There you go.
Well, it would definitely make the game go faster. I don't know if it would pick up the pace necessarily. It would limit the number of plays in a game drastically.
Well, just always thought that was dumb. Personally, that's just my opinion. So,
sorry, football.
I'm not the commissioner.
Foot is in the title, and kicking is an afterthought.
That's true.
I remember whenever this year that Cromwell had those foreign exchange teachers, and I was talking to one of them at halftime, and he was just amazed how little kicking there actually was.
Yes, there's virtually no kicking in football. I mean, to start the game and maybe an extra point here or there, a little punting. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Thanks to Carl Ray Fesser for joining us today. And we hope he gets assigned to state tournament
play. He's due.
He's put his time in.
Yes.
Time's come. So,
Illini today at Indiana, 3 o'clock on the Ox.
There you go. And you can always check out our website, WSMyRadio.com. Thanks, Tim.
Yep. Sports Saturday is done here on your 50,000-watt voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, the station you can count on. We'll have coverage of the Macoupin County Tournament and the Litchfield Invitational Tournament beginning a week from today here on WUSMI-FM 106.